Hi, good morning. Welcome to the Sunday morning Genesis Church service. And there we go. Yeah, I've only used this for 3 years. You would think I would have it down by now. Y'all, I'd love to get started off with a word of prayer. I can go ahead and tell you that there are some people working across the street, so if you hear anything, that's it. They also have a doggy with them, so if you hear him barking, he's saying amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us come to you this morning, Father. There are so many countries where we can't do that. Father, we come to you all with different things on our hearts this morning. Struggles and trials and sicknesses and addictions. We all struggle. We are all fighting a battle. Father, whoever is watching this, whoever is listening to this, whoever is watching a recorded version of it or listening to a recorded version of it, Father, they need you. I need you. We all do. Father, come into this world, come into our hearts. And as your words are spoken, Father, in this message, let your words be heard, not mine, not my opinions, not my interpretations, but your words, Father. And let them be tattooed on our hearts to shine, that we might be lights like fireflies going out into the darkness of this world, Father, to light up and be a light there for others and a hope and a help. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, y'all, going to go through a few of our notes here. Not sure if we have any new people, but my name's Mark Vaughn. I'm the pastor of Genesis Church here in Honey Pass, South Carolina. And we have three ways for you to watch this service. And it's either on Facebook or we have a YouTube channel, Genesis Church, Honey Pass, South Carolina, or we have the recorded sermon, which will be on a little bit later on today. And it's on our website, mygenesischurch.net. And we have been here we've been to church for about 10 years. I've been pastor about 2.5 years, and we're a small church located in Honey Pass, South Carolina, about 5,000 people. And today, going to be delivering the service through Facebook. And one thing I wanted to address, we had a lot of people that have been asking about, a lot of our regular members have been asking about when we're going to meet again in person. And y'all, we just want to be really, really certain that we are as safe as possible. I've emailed the CDC and asked for guidelines and recommendations for cleaning the church before we meet again. And also, we have to see what the state and local authorities say. We love you. We miss you. But we want you to be safe. We're concerned more about your safety and well-being than having numbers in the church. We love you, and please just hang on with us. We just want to do what is safe and best for everybody. The board and I will be meeting today to discuss potential plans and to see what's going on. And I'll discuss some of my findings with the CDC from them. And we just want to make sure we all just want the best for all our folks. One thing I am certain of, we'll be continuing the Facebook live recordings and the YouTube recordings and our recordings on our website even after we start to meet in person. So if there's anyone listening from another, if there's anyone like listening from out of the area, you know, or y'all are always welcome to come by and see us, but we're going to be continuing this as well, because sometimes there are folks that can't Yeah, just hang in there. My lovely wife, Lisa, is doing the recording, and we've had a couple of technical issues, but it's all right. Satan, you ain't winning today. We're going to have a good service. So this will be continued on online. Now, can't forget our kids. Ms. Lisa has sent out another packet this week. And we, to all our regular kids, and you know that Ms. Lisa and I are nurses, so that everything has been sprayed down, wiped down before it got sent out to y'all. We've already got a picture or two from some of our parents. And Ms. Lisa and Ms. Darlene just want to remind all you kids to wash your hands and use hand sanitizers, just like you do in children's church when y'all line up for snacks. And I've also heard, be watching for your mailbox this week, because there'll be something sent out to you. We love y'all. We miss y'all. our land. We purchased 7.5 acres on Highway 76 on Horseshoe Road. It's about 4.5 miles from this present location. And we were actually had just talked to someone about getting our building process, seeing what we needed and everything right before all this hit. I have to remind myself to be patient. We will have a church out there one day. We're going to have a church. This is a building diagram of it. It's going to be a place. It's out in the country. A place where our children can have vacation Bible school. A place where they can be baptized. A place where we can have weddings. Where we can have dinners. Where we can have showers. Roots. We're getting there. We're getting there. Just be patient with us. We're a very conservative church as far as our financial values. We don't want to get into any more debt than we possibly can. Our Operation Bear Hug, in its fifth year with the Honeyapath Police Department, we need to spray down some bears and get them to the department here in the next week or two that our church members bring in stuffed animals. And we have a couple that are really good at. Kim Graham has been one that has been a member that has just really looked at, really brought in a lot of bears. But we've had other folks that have. And we give them to the police department. The officers put them in their trunks. And then they give them to children whenever they're on a scene at a crime or some type of investigation. It's a little bit of normalcy when their world's just falling apart. And also, I've been in contact with Captain Sherry Morris of the Honeyapath Police Department. There's tentative plans for a community camp sponsored by the Honeyapath Police Department. And the dates are up in the air right now with the COVID-19 crisis. But Genesis Church wants to be a part of that. And we told that to Captain Morris and Chief Bozeman. And I encourage the rest of the area churches to jump in behind this. Anytime you can have young people and the police talking to each other under friendly circumstances, this is a good thing so they can understand, so they can see what the police are all about. Not on a movie, but in real life. And this program was started by our former pastor, Alan Harkey, and our treasurer, Suzanne Colbert-McCorder. Our prayer list. We need prayer now more than ever. We are a praying church. Jesus said, my Father's house should be called a house of prayer. And we have several people that I want to just point out for prayer for us to lift them up. First is Sean Rector. I work with Sean. And Sean and his family, they live up in Virginia. They had a house fire yesterday. It sounds like they've lost about everything they have. Sean and his wife have 7 children. Really need to be lifting them up. Thankfully, they're okay, but they lost one of their fur babies, and that's heartbreaking in itself. Plus, think about the pictures, the mementos, the baby items, all these things that are gone. We really need to be lifting them up right now. Also, I want to remember Renee Shiflett and Steve Shiflett. I worked with Renee in the recovery room at Self-Regional now. And Renee's battling cancer. She's also having some fluid retention and some shortness of breath. We want to lift her and her husband and their family up, especially Renee, for just improvement in her breathing and to get rid of this extra fluid. We also want to lift up Earl and Rachel Pointer. Earl has just been in the hospital close to a month and a half. He's been very sick. They live out in Indiana. And Earl's just having a tough time physically and spiritually right now. Lift him up. The God will give him peace and give him healing in his heart. And lift Rachel up so that she can come and just give her the grace and strength to walk through this storm with him. And also, we want to lift up our superintendent, Dr. Richard Rosenberger, his family, and our school district, Anderson District 2, right now. They need all your prayers, too. And if you know someone that needs that you want to add to our prayer list is displayed on our website, mygenesischurch.net. If there's anyone in there that you want lifted up to put on the prayer list, please let us know. You can put it in the comments of this recording, or you can personal message me. I'll text you a prayer. I will call you a prayer. Have prayer will travel. And we are a house of prayer. Prayer works. Please reach out to us. We will certainly pray with you. And you'll have this church and everybody listening is praying with you too. Two or more gathered in his name, he is there. And this is a challenging time for all of us. Genesis is a small church, and we still have our financial obligations. Even though we're not meeting in person, you still have your regular utilities and bills. And first thing I want to do is say thank you to everyone who's reached out to us through the mail, through PayPal. Thank you all so much. We really appreciate it. And the church, all churches, need your generosity and support right now, wherever you may attend regularly. Not just Genesis, we all do. Paul wrote, I'm a little off kilter this morning. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 9:7, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. When we cannot give much, God does a lot with it. We encourage you to be faithful to your church, wherever that's at. All churches are struggling. Remember, the church isn't built with bricks and stones. It's built with people. That little old lady that was sitting in the corner, she really needs a call from you right now. We try to reach out to our members and check in on them, but it's good that folks check in on each other too. Individuals are struggling. Pastors are really struggling. This information I gained from the CDC, I'm actually going to be reporting out on a video conference with other pastors from our district this week. We're struggling. Most of us have never seen anything like this, and we're struggling to figure out how we can help. A lot of caregivers and pastors are in that. We like being close to people. We like talking with people, and it's hard for us when we're having to do things by a distance. So call or text or send a card in the mail to people to let them know that they're not alone. And we've added a PayPal account on our website. There's a link to it, mygenesischurch.net. And it's up and running. Special thanks to Mac and Suzanne. They are the ones that got it up and going. And our website address is mygenesischurch.net. And also for folks that want to give by mail, our address is Genesis Church P.O. Box 130 Honeyapath, South Carolina 29654. We also have a YouTube channel where the sermons can be viewed at Genesis Church, Honeyapath, South Carolina.
Okay, let's take a quick pause and see if we can't get the sound better. We'll be right back.
Who?
Okay, we'll start right back. Before your sermon.
Okay, what's...
They're saying that it sounds like a waterfall. There's all this static they can't hear. And so I don't know. I've got the volume turned all the way up. And let me go to my settings. And sound. And we'll try... You were doing good, baby. I don't know what's going on with the sound, so. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah. Hey, y'all, sorry about the sound. We're trying to do the best we can with it. There's no mic. It's just my hot air that you're hearing. And I'm not sure if maybe some of the equipment across the street may have an issue with it. But we're still going to keep right on giving this message. Lisa and Braden and I had a really unusual family time activity this Friday. We went to a protest. First time for us. The district superintendent has been placed on administrative leave by the school board this week. And along with a lot of other people, we felt it was wrong. So we all met at the district office and we had a socially distant, peaceful protest. We've never done that before. It can be really tempting to ignore what's going on in the world and to just want to stay in your own bubble. Saturday morning, I was standing on my computer screen. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. Holy Spirit hadn't really talked to me, or I thought he had. Then I got to thinking about the temptation I had not to go to this protest, to just say, well, it's not my issue, not my problem. I'm glad that we went and we showed our support, and I started thinking about it. How do we know what's right and wrong? How do we know what's fixed and broken? Now, I remember talking to a new Christian a couple years ago. He's an auto mechanic. And he explained the Bible in a really original way. When I fixed the car, there was a manual or a service number I would call to get help. And the car was the creation, and the manual and service number came from the Creator. When I found Christ in my life, I realized that I was the creation, and the Bible was from my Creator. It is my service manual, and prayer is my service number. I thought about becoming a Christian. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears me, hears my voice, and opens the door, I will come with him and dine with him, and he with me." Then what? As Christians, we're supposed to be on a journey to be more like Jesus. We will never reach that goal of being exactly like Jesus, but in our attempt, we'll become better than we are right now, and we'll become closer to him. A lot of times, though, after the excitement of becoming a Christian, turning our lives over to Christ starts to wear off, and then the world attacks, we can settle into a routine. We get stuck sometimes. I think we need to go to the service manual occasionally to get instructions on what to do. Bible's a big book. Where do we go to? Paul wrote one of the best chapters on Christian living when he wrote Romans chapter 12. I read it, prayed about it. I was led back there yesterday. I think this chapter offers directions for what to do after we answer Jesus' knocking. And it's a powerful tool for attracting new believers to Christ. That is Jesus' last command to the disciples before returning to heaven. In Matthew 28, as Jesus was about to ascend, he told the disciples, "Go forth, make disciples, go to the ends of the earth." That is one of the primary obligations as a Christian. And evangelism has a scary ring to it to a lot of people. And there are a lot of people, when they think about evangelism, they think about knocking on doors and mailing out stuff and standing on the corner and preaching the gospel. And those are forms of evangelism. But I think what works for us is showing who we are in Christ to others. Not as a museum display, but who we really are. And let them see that. And how we live and think and we act. Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. Christianity was still in its baby stage at this time. The first Christians were Jews. So the way Paul wrote things was in a way that a Jewish person would understand. Sacrifices, as mentioned in verse 2, were based on the rules that God gave to Moses. And they were still normal for many people in Paul's time. I don't know if you remember when Jesus went to the temple in Jerusalem and they had money changers and people selling animals over there. All those were based on the sacrificial system. Other religions had sacrifices as part of their rituals. And Paul wasn't writing about the sacrifice of blood, but because Jesus did all that for us. Jesus was the blood sacrifice for us. He was talking about including God in all parts of our lives. That's being a real living sacrifice. Allowing God to work through us. To use us for his work. As we live our lives, let God help us with the planning. I know what my plan is for this. What's God's plan for it? Not to plan things without him and then ask him why it fell apart. I've been guilty. Nicely laid plans, but God wasn't part of them. God shouldn't be an afterthought. but the first thought. And when it comes to verse 2, Billy Graham wrote, "Times have changed, but human nature hasn't. Though the methods are different, the pagan world is still trying to put its stamp of conformity on every follower of Jesus Christ. Every possible pressure is being brought to bear upon Christians to make them conform to the standards of this world. When you change and put God first in your life and your plans reflect the will of God, this world is going to come after you. They are going to come after you, and you may be mocked. You may be rejected. You may even be persecuted in today's world." Jesus said this will happen in Jesus 10:22. "And you will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who is endured to the end that will be saved." In verse 3, Paul warns us to remain humble. I think he realizes his grace, faith, spiritual gifts, everything given to Paul, who wrote about a third of the New Testament and started churches all over the ancient world, it all came from God. The prayers, if any of you find my prayers pretty or beautiful, it comes from the Holy Spirit. We come from God. Most, if not all of us, know or know someone who has liked to rub our noses in all of what they have or how great they are. And if you don't believe how great they are, you just ask them and they'll tell you. What they have came from someone else who probably what they have didn't come from someone who acted like that or wanted them to act like that. Y'all, I promise I'm not contagious. Some churches can be like, "You're wearing that and you're giving what?" And it reminded me of another Christian I met a couple years ago who had a couple kids, and she was describing giving her life over to Jesus, being attracted to different area churches. And this, on more than one occasion, when she tried to find the church, no one from the church even spoke to her or kids when they entered in. Y'all, no matter where you go to church, that should never happen. People cannot... Can I help it, honey?
I know. The devil's trying today.
Yeah, he sure is. When I heard that, it was heartbreaking. Y'all, we don't ever need that. We at Genesis here, you come in your blue jeans, you come in your work pants, whatever you got. It should be that way at all churches. Some people don't come because they don't have. Some people use that as an excuse, but there are people that financially don't have that. When they have several kids, to be able to have nice clothes. We need to be more concerned about what's here than what's on their back. I'm thankful for everyone that comes here to Genesis Church. When we have new people to visit, everyone treats them like they want to be treated. That's the basic building block of evangelism. It's not how well you know this. Pharisees knew this really well. They didn't have a heart for God. Treating people like you want to be treated. That is the first step to getting people that crack, that opening you're looking for, that the Holy Spirit's looking for, to talk to people about Jesus or show them about Jesus, which is even better. Some good, down-to-earth, sober self-judgment by some church members would have gained that church a tremendous worker for Jesus. That lady eventually found the church and is involved up to her neck in it. Now, verses 4 and 5 talks about the church being described as a body. You can't have a living person without beating heart, breathing lungs, functioning kidneys. None of these organs can survive without the rest of the body. It's that interchanging, it's that dependent relationship. Pastor's not a church. I don't make up this church. I'm a part of it. The board's a part of it. But we're simple organs in this body. All of us make up this church with God in the center of it. And we have common goals. To grow on our journey with Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because I have to grow on my journey. Lisa has to grow on hers. You have to grow on yours. Any pastor that thinks they have completed their journey with Christ not today, devil. Scratchy throat or not. Y'all, we ain't never had a service quite like this one. But it's okay. That means someone needs to hear it. We need to tell others about the good news of Jesus' sacrifice for us. And let the Holy Spirit in them awaken. The Holy Spirit's in us all. We aren't identical. And God didn't mean for us to be copies of each other. And just like a human body, with many different organs and systems, we all have different functions, but the same goal. And if we all had the same talents and gifts, it'd be boring. Also, it wouldn't be very productive. I can fix a decent meal, but I can't fix anything else. Anyone that knows me knows that's right and probably laughing right now. God wants to use us all. God wants to use us all. I don't mean just at the church. Sometimes people think that God's spiritual gifts can only be used in church. The church is a small part of getting people to come to Jesus. I think it's great if the Holy Spirit lays on your heart to work at the church. But God wants us to work outside of here. We're here a couple hours a week. There's 168 hours in a week. God wants us to use us for His work in this world to help others who need to come to Him. It might be helping the elderly neighbor build a ramp or bring them supper or help them get their groceries. It might be taking in a teenager, taking them out to go fishing who's confused about something or conflicted fishing or hunting. Might be helping the schoolmate who's struggling with a subject and show them some kindness. Maybe just listening to someone who's going through a lot. We all have those people that we can open up to and talk to. How much of a blessing have they been in your lives? You can be a blessing in someone else's. There are people who are great organizers. My honey is a really good organizer. If it appears I have organization, she's a big reason for it. There are people who have a special way with children and teenagers, and they are good teachers and good speakers. Where were you when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? How many times was it at a church, or was it somewhere else? Living room couch, coffee shop, Waffle House, which I desperately miss a Waffle House, a riverbank, so many places. When we help others according to what the Holy Spirit guides us to do, we're doing our part in the body of Christ, which is the church. Others see us, how we live and how we act. And think about it, though. How do we learn to walk? Watching others. And as children, as Christians, we are like children in a lot of ways. We see and we learn and we act. Our conduct, when people are watching and people are not watching, is how we grow and how we can help others grow. Verses 9 and 10. Love be without hypocrisy and hate what's evil and cling to what's good. Love each other with brotherly love. That one's easy, ain't it? That can be very hard. We all have our opinions. We all have our preferences. That's human nature. When Paul talks about love without hypocrisy, he means genuine love. A brotherly love is referring to biblical love. Like brothers, some love can be tough love. Much like pouring ice water on someone to wake them up when your mother said so. Robbie? And thankfully, I have a good brother. He showed brotherly love for me that he didn't strangle me, even though he probably wanted to at the time. Brotherly love must be wise and discerning, always keeping in mind what we're doing, whether it's discipline or whether it's saying no. Is it in the best interest of that person? May not be for the person's best good to give them money that they're going to use for an addiction. They're going to use because they have no sense about money to buy what have you. When they're not out there working, they have an irresponsible, lazy way of life. You're not helping them by giving them money. You're enabling them. And that's a tough word because I've been there. I've done that with people. And it's hard. It's hard to stop that. It's hard to tell people you love no. So biblical love sometimes confronts sin rather than just being nice and ignoring sin. Now, that's hard. When you stand up and you see something's wrong and you do something about it that you know is right in God's eyes, that's hard sometimes. Positively, to show love, you may teach that person biblical principles about money, help them develop a budget and control their spending, to live within their means, help them find a job. The motive in our hearts to help he or she grow in godliness. And godliness and holiness are things that are thrown around a lot and they sound intimidating. Doing what's right. Doing what's right in God's eyes for the right reasons. We must hold on tightly to what's good because the enemy is always trying to get us to loosen our grip. To be more tolerant of what is evil. He whispers, you need to be more accepting and don't be judgmental. One of the favorite verses in the whole Bible to quote for this is Matthew 7:1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. Jesus said that. I've heard that said to me several times. Don't judge me. Bible says you can't. I'm not judging you. But I am going to tell you, if it's wrong in this book, I'm going to tell you that because I love you. I don't judge you if you're sticking your finger in a light socket. But I'm going to tell you don't do that because it's going to hurt you. A lot of people justify their behaviors by that verse when a Christian confronts them out of brotherly love. Biblical love. You can't judge me. You ain't perfect. I ain't saying we are. But there's a danger sign ahead in your life, whether you are drinking alcohol, you taking pills, an addiction, destructive behaviors, you're on the verge of losing your job, losing your livelihood because you're not taking responsibility or you're not being mature enough. And we love you enough to say something to you. If we didn't love you enough, we'd let you go down this path of destruction. Jesus is really clear. We must judge our own sins before we judge others for theirs. Matthew 7:5, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your eye, and then you'll be able to clearly take the speck out of your brother's eyes. So before we confront someone, if we're led to by the Holy Spirit, we do need to take a look at our own stuff. Because if we're telling someone, well, you got a drug problem. You're buying all these pills, but we're spending hundreds of dollars a week on lottery tickets. And I ain't got nothing against the lottery, but everything in moderation. I don't have anything against alcohol, but everything in moderation. If we're sitting there with our own issues, we need to take care of our own issues before we talk to someone else about their issues. Verses 11, 12, and 13. It's easy to say praise the Lord when everything is going good. It's easy to pray regularly. We look at our devotionals. We're here at church on time or early. When stuff gets real and things fall apart, like things have in these last month and a half or 2 months. People are being laid off. They're being furloughed. There's sickness. There's addiction. None of life stopped. COVID-19 did not make the miseries of this life stop. It added to it. There's still people battling cancer. There's still people battling addictions. There's still people battling autoimmune disorders. There's still people with their healthcare struggles. now they have another element to worry about. There are people who were barely making it and not making it at all now. Times of trouble and tribulations when the rubber meets the road. We cling to God when we're on the mountaintops or in the valleys, but He wants us to come to Him regularly. Not as a spare tire. How many of you have used God as a spare tire? I have. I think most of us have, if we're honest. I think Paul was talking about those Christians wanting us to be hot or cold, not being lukewarm. I kind of pray. There ain't no kind of. You need to be hot or you need to be cold. Jesus, out of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, Jesus had something nice to say about all of them except for one. That was the one He called lukewarm. I cannot use you, I will spit you out. Either be hot or cold, I'll have some use for you. Regular prayer is an essential part of our spiritual journey with Jesus, and there's no substitution. And it doesn't have to be fancy. The prayers I pray are Holy Spirit-led. It didn't have to be that way. Talk to God. God, I don't understand this. God, I'm mad. God, I don't know what to do. Talk to Him on a regular basis. It may be a couple minutes. It may be 20. But talk to Him. Good or bad times, we need God. We need His peace and joy in our hearts. You cannot get peace and joy anywhere in this world. You can go out and you can buy a fancy new truck, all jacked up, everything. That's happiness. Are you so happy when that first payment comes in? No. I've tried to buy stuff to be joyful. It don't work. God gives us peace and joy. That comes through a relationship with Jesus. Because troubles are part of this life. That is just life. We have pains. We have trials. We have things that break down. Our washing machine right now, we think it's doing the Linda Blair exorcist impersonation right now, and we're probably going to have someone out to look at it. Troubles happen. Paul realized this when he wrote Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust Him. Then you will overflow with confident help through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that peace. We need that joy. Verses 14, 15, and 16 are very tough. Verse 14, though, I want to make sure that everyone realizes. Verse 14 does not mean that anyone should ever suffer abuse or neglect. That's wrong. If you're in that situation, get out. I read a statistic that was just heartbreaking. Domestic violence reports have gone up 40% since this epidemic. Please get out. I've seen people that didn't until it was too late. Please get out of there. Bless those who persecute you. That does not mean those that are trying to control you. Get out. What it means is if someone's giving you a tough time, pray for them and the Holy Spirit will work in their lives. I've had people at my work and things I've had to deal with in the past, I think we all have, that it's hard to pray for them. But when I have noticed a change in them, and I do not know, well, I do know it's the Holy Spirit. I'm still at work, still a work in progress on this one, but I'm trying to do better. God may work in their hearts, or He may remove you from that situation. It can be easy to celebrate the birth of a child, verse 15, with family and friends. It can be really hard to be with that family when they find out something's wrong, when there's no heartbeat, or a test comes back with abnormal DNA. It can be very hard. Or the grandfather may not live to see the first birthday. As believers, we're meant to stick in there with each other. through good times and bad. And it's easy to be with someone during the baby shower and wedding shower. It's a lot harder to be there when that baby's in the hospital or if there are problems with the marriage. A lot of us don't do it to be mean, but we want to fix things. And during a time of loss, we can't fix it. We don't know what to do. I know a lot of nurses. Lisa and I are both nurses. There's probably a lot of nurses and respiratory therapists listening to this. And as respiratory therapists, I'm the same way. We want to fix stuff. Clinicians want to fix things. And it's so hard not to. Pastors are like the same way. Mamas, same way. They want to fix stuff. Most meaningful thing that we can do is to be there for those who are hurting. There isn't anything we can say to take away the loss. Everyone feels lost. Even Jesus felt lost at Lazarus' tomb. But letting them know we love them and God loves them can help them to be able to put one foot in front of another. And sometimes that is a blessing in itself in these times of tragedy. Verses 17, 18, and 19. Never pay back evil to anyone. Yeah, I'm still working on that one. I'm trying. I am a work in progress. When someone does something bad to me, it crosses my mind to give them a little eye for an eye. In verse 18, Paul makes an important distinction. He says, so far as it depends on you to try and be at peace with others. Some people want drama. They want trouble. There are bullies in this world. There have been times in my life I wish God had a vengeance suggestion box. God doesn't want us to sin out of anger because some miserable person is trying to make our lives awful. And I'm pretty sure as I said that statement, most of us probably popped up with a couple people in mind. That type of person is like a walker from The Walking Dead. They want to bite you and turn you into something like them. Be awfully tempting to respond like one of the characters from The Walking Dead and beep. But no. Just as God uses people, I think Satan uses people to accomplish his work. His goal is the destruction of God's people. In whatever way, whatever God puts together, the Holy Spirit puts together, Satan is trying to tear it down. We fight that with God's word and prayer. The spiritual gifts he gives us in our relationship with Jesus. When Jesus, and you think about it, when Jesus cast out demons, when Jesus removed evil, prayer was a vital part of that. Verses 20 and 21. When your enemy's hungry, feed them. When they're thirsty, give them something to drink. It's like pouring hot coals on their heads. And do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It can be hard to show grace to those people who have and are hurting you. This was hospitality was the basis for the Middle Eastern cultures during Paul's time. Still one of the best ways to get to know people. And these acts of kindness is more for us than the person we're doing it for. Deeds often speak louder than words. Read about a story the other day. There was a young woman in Armenia, her and her brother. And the Armenians and the Turks have been fighting for hundreds of years. Turkish soldier chased them down the street. He cornered them in an alley. He shot the brother to death. Made the sister watch, then let her go. The woman grew up to be a nurse working at a military hospital. At a military hospital, when that Turkish soldier was brought in, wounded and shot, and lay before her. He was critically wounded, and if she'd left him alone, he would have died. One day, the Turk, who finally recognized her, said, "Why didn't you let me die?" Her reply was amazing. "I'm a follower of Jesus." He said, "Love your enemies." The man was silent for a long time. "I never knew that anyone could have such faith. If that's what it does, tell me more about it. I want it." This woman, through her actions, brought one person to Christ. Who does that one person touch? In this church, in everything I've done, in everything I hope to do, bring one person. One person. Can you imagine a world where one Christian can help another person come to Christ? Someone can't help everyone, but everyone can help someone. Right now, for the people that are established in churches, on the average, it takes 88 Christians in the U.S. to help one believer come to, help one person come to Christ. If one believer can help one person come to Christ, amazing. What do we use? This chapter is a really good start. Paul didn't give us easy rules to follow to be an effective learner. And Jesus never promised us an easy road. In Matthew 7, it's a narrow gate. Wide is the path to destruction. We've been promised through God's word that He'll be with us. Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Part of God's love for us is an expectation of our obedience with Him and His commandments. As we go to God in prayer, let's pray to be that living sacrifice that God wants us to be, to seek His plans for us and to work through us. It can be scary to stand up and stand out from the crowd. Very scary. God promises us that we are not alone. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer. Father, we have just reviewed some of the basic rules for being a believer. Father, many of us are struggling with these rules, especially in this time. Your law is being replaced by the law of the land and the law of the jungle. Father, put these words on our hearts. Let your words be heard. Father, these people we have lifted up on this prayer list, these people that we have in our minds, Father, that we are seeing as we talk about these verses, Father, we lift them up. We are all struggling. Be with us, Father. Work in our lives. Help us to be the fireflies lighting up this darkness. Help us to bring people to Jesus. Father, help us to look in our own hearts, in our own spiritual houses, and clean our houses before we talk to someone about theirs. Father, help us to be 7-day-a-week believers, not 1 hour a week. Father, help us go to your word. Help us to go to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our benediction today comes from 1 Corinthians 15:58. With all this going for us, my dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for Him is a waste of time or effort. Amen. Y'all, sorry about the technical issues. Sorry about the coughing fit. I promise it's pollen, not anything else. Y'all are loved. Hope you have a great week. Please reach out to me on Instant Messenger. If there's someone that we can pray for, someone we put on their list, a lot of you have my cell phone number, I'll be glad to text and pray with you. Love y'all.